Good morning, one and all. What a pleasure it is to share the word in Monday Manna, and also I hope and my prayer is that it will be an inspiration. It's not that any one of us do not know these messages, but when the message comes to us in a special context, in a special timing, and in a special group, that makes a different sense. I hope that blessing will remain even as I share the thought and you listen to it. The context here is, I call my inspiration today, this morning, doers versus hearers. All of us are hearers. We have been hearing, even now we are hearing. Without hearing, nothing happens. But then it is Apostle James who makes a special claim, and he says that not only be the hearers, but also doers. Let me read the context from the Bible. The context from the Bible is James chapter 1, verses 22 to 25. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror, and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, and forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. So here comes the message, says, do not merely listen to the word, do what it says. Recently, I was in my church sitting with a men's fellowship, and they wanted to have a retreat. And again, they wanted to invite people to listen to them. I said, we are all leaders of the church, elders of the church. We have come, average age there in the room was about 55. So I was trying to say, how long you want to hear? Why can't you do something? Why can't one of us stand up and then give the word of God? Though the Bible admonishes us, saying that there are special callings to preach and teach. Yes, I do admit, I'm not against that. But then somewhere down the line, we have to do what it says. So I provoked that, my brethren there, saying that stand up and talk. One of us give the lessons. Then finally, we agreed that we'll have a keynote speaker, but then all the rest of the gathering will also bring forth our thoughts and have an interactive session, so that what we've been hearing, we'll be able to get a good perspective. And also, out of that perspective, we'll be able to help and internalize things. So I was trying to transition them from being hearers all our lives and to become doers. Not that we are not doing, I'm not belittling anybody's effort. Everybody in their own little way wanted, or the special way, want to do, be doers. Be doers, that's your blessing. Be doers of the word. What was the, I want to give you a perspective, a background. When was the first expectation of hearing and doing? The first doing was against God. It was not doing what they heard. Adam heard. He has spoken to Eve, probably. Together as Adam and wife, they were not able to do. It all started in the garden. And stepped outside the garden, we were never able to bring that to doing. There has always been a tension between hearing and doing. People do emphasize there is difference between hearing and listening. In this context of looking into the morning inspiration here today, I'm not going to delve into that. I want to limit it to saying whether you hear or you listen. It is the context, it is the meaning that shall make sense and appeal to us and then be applied in our life. That is the context we will limit ourselves to. So we have heard. Adam and Eve heard, and they didn't do. And what is that we have heard? The next step that has engrossed me always is, hear, O Israel. Hear, O Israel, is the word keeps ringing in my ear. I said, is it only then Moses talking to Israel was trying to shout out and say, hear, O Israel? If you want the reference, it is in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. And it says, hear, O Israel, your Lord, your God is one God. Again, they were trying to say about, talk about one God. Because in our lives, we are not able to even keep that simple thing that Lord God is one. Because we are creating our own idols. The idols is a thing that substitutes God and moves God away from his position of authority and sovereignty. So Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 4 says, hear, O Israel, and we keep hearing God. Even today, God has been talking through the ages, through the history. This hearing has been there, and doing has been vastly impaired, and the correction has been applied. God in his mercy has been giving us chance after chance after chance to correct ourselves. And because of the impairment of doing from what we heard, we have suffered. The mankind has suffered. The believers have suffered. The children of God have suffered. Israel has suffered. So we are trying to make this place redeem the world and to bring honor and glory to our God's name. So Isaiah 45:5 also brings in a context for that. Here the Lord God himself says, I am your God. There shall be no other God before you. That is Isaiah 45:5. And then if we stay on this, we need to come back to our context and into the New Testament. In the New Testament time, Christ came in, Christ preached to us, Christ lived, God becoming man. He preached to us, he taught us, he modeled us, he mentored us, he did everything to us. But did we listen? Again, the hearers versus the doers. Because every time Jesus Christ said something, there were people who were not able to do it. Like the one who came to him and asked, what shall I do to gain the eternal life? Then he says, go and keep the commandments. He said, I have kept it from all my life. There is a beautiful discourse. Then he says the Good Samaritan story. He says, he brings into context, what is loving your neighbor? It is yet another guy, person who comes and says, what shall I do? And then he says, he finds that his roadblock is the attachment to the wealth. Then he says that go sell all your wealth and give it to the poor. He's not able to do it. This is hard teaching. And he walks off. Hearing and doing is not there. There is a gap. And in the doing also, there is a lot of impairment. So as I grew in the church, I want to boast it here, but I want to tell you, God has blessed me with a thing that I'm a good hearer. Who's a good hearer or a good listener is one who can internalize and repeat it. I'm not even coming to what you call the doing. So I always used to mock people. Sorry, I'm sharing. I'm trying to be transparent. I used to say to people, so you were listening 30 minutes, 40 minutes, sometimes even 1 hour, someone on Sunday morning. I said, what did you hear? Most of the people, when they come after the church service or after a crusade, will never be able to say anything, though they have sat for minutes and even hours together listening in. So ask for that blessing that we will be able to hear and internalize. Ask for the blessing that once internalized, we'll be able to do whatever it is, the essence of it, and live it up. So living it up in the life is very difficult. We need to get some guidelines. So much is being preached, and the church in which I was raised will complete the pastor will complete the sermon. But once the sermon is completed, it will be on some text, because throughout the year there will be texts It is already ordained year after year, the same text will be coming for the given Sunday. So, but once the sermon is spoken, they will go through some six verses. I have comprehended in my life that those are the verse, six words are from hearing to doing. It is almost as paraphrasing. Don't want to give you all the six verses, but here is it. I want to tell you, give you first thing. It is from one of the things that forms that undergirds the truth in this is faith without works is dead. This is from James 2, second chapter. Faith without works, because that is the only chapter in which the doing is being emphasized. So we should know that. There is a big tussle, prayer, faith. But then what is this doing? Why on works it is being emphasized? He says, if there is no works or there is no fruit coming out of your faith life and what you believe, it is almost as dead. It is a tree without giving any fruits. So from James again, the same verse comes. James is the one who is, Apostle James is emphasizing this. So the verses that were read to me from to us, to the congregation from the pulpit in the church that I attend and still attend, and I was raised in, it says, do good and share with all. This comes from Hebrews chapter 13, verse 16. Do good and share all. In Tamil, it is very nicely put in. It said, Nanmai Sayavum, Dharma Ikima Irko Marava Deval. Do not forget to be do good. So this is the admonition. So to do good, what is to do good is immediately it says, share with everybody. Whatever is given to you. For some of us, material wealth is given. For some of us, education is given. For all of us, faith is given. We need to share that. We need to live our faith. We need to share our goods. That's the way the prompting is done. This morning, as we hear, the Lord says, the reminder comes through Apostle Paul from Hebrews 13, verse 16. He says, do not forget to do good and share with all. And then Apostle Paul continues in Galatians chapter 6, verse 10, and he says, where and when? He says, while there is opportunity, let us not miss any opportunity. While there is opportunity, and to whom? The household of faith. To everyone, but especially to the household of faith. Let us do good. So this is the doing. This is the hearing. The hearing is, let us do good. The hearing is today, it is impossible to please God without faith. The hearing today is, I am your God. The hearing today is, there is no other God before you. Then Jesus Christ teaching, asking, he says, what are the commandments? The commandments was the first, do not and do's. Do's, first do's and then do nots. So that is where the whole problem came. And then they made it into the 613 Jewish laws. And then finally they came down and Jesus was asked, what is the chief of the commandments? What is the most important commandment? He reduced it again to this one thing which saying, love your Lord with all your heart, with all your mind and all your strength. And then he added, love your neighbor. The most difficult thing or the gap between hearing and doing is this, loving our neighbor. And how shall we love our neighbor? He has given us the example, but then how we practically apply, especially when we are in business, when we are in the marketplace, and we are as working as professionals, we need to demonstrate the whole thing of how to love our neighbor. This is the most challenging thing. This morning, my prayer is that this challenges that I faced in my life and the challenges you are facing in your life as you walk through the life and you continue living your life, that we shall love our neighbor, because that is the only thing that will speak for its love. For they say in English, words and deeds speak louder than the words. So we shall love our neighbors. Then he says, how shall we love? Because John, in his epistles, writing, Apostle John writing his epistles, he says, for he know what love is, because he first loved us. That is the theme in which running. But specifically, I've always been internalized one thing in my life is 1 John 3:16. That again will be read to us from the pulpit. It says, if anyone has worldly wealth and he will not share it with his brothers, how can he love the Father in heaven whom he has not seen? If he cannot love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love the Father whom he has not seen? He said, for Christ showed us what love is by giving his own life. And we are also indebted to lay down our lives for our brothers. Laying down our lives for others is not in the manner in which Christ gave his life upon a cross to redeem the whole world. Maybe we will not be called to do it. But in essence, I've always felt that it is all in me, that all my mind, all my strength, all my effort, all that material wealth, if I can share it with my brothers, that is laying down my life for others. That is why Christ said, if you have two cloaks, share one. If somebody asks you to walk 1 mile, walk the second mile. I always say second mile and beyond. Second mile and beyond. You will definitely see the blessings when you do this. So be the hearer, internalize it. We have been hearing all our lives. And then we have to bring it to doing. Doing is loving. Loving is laying our lives, laying down our lives for our brothers and sisters. So who's the model? Who's the example? Is it doable? It is. Christ demonstrated it. We may not be called, again, this is an emphasis, we may not be called to lay down our lives on the cross or as a martyr, but then in the life whom we come across, be reminded about the Good Samaritan story, we shall, like the Good Samaritan, physical effort, time, and the material wealth, we shall be ready to share it with others. While the world is looking at us, we don't have to say anything, but our deeds will speak louder than our words. Now, once the love has been shed, what is the other thing that we have, what do we call paucity or inadequacy? Is that one thing that we've been hearing all our lives long? It is the command of Jesus. Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. He says, go into all the world. Make disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And teach them what I taught you, to what I commanded you to obey. The word is obey. Obey is doing. So we need to teach, we need to model, and we need to go and share the word, share the good news. That is where the whole deficiency comes, a big deficiency. We think that it can be relegated or delegated. Sorry, relegated is not a proper choice word. Can be delegated to some people because some texts Paul preaching to context in that some of us are called to do this. Some of us are called to do other things. So we have chosen to be delegated, especially talking to professionals and businessmen. I always say the world is working on outsourcing. Whatever we try to do, we think that outsourcing. I even say America outsources this entire talent. I've said this many places. And now they're trying to say that, and in a decade back, an American president had become proudly made in America. They tried to make everything outside. They kept on outsourcing so much, they outsourced the whole country. So like that, in Christianity, what we are doing is we are outsourcing evangelism. God's Jesus Christ's last command. We are trying to outsource this. That is, hear that properly. And he says, go into the world, make disciples, baptize them, teach them what I commanded you to obey, that they may also. It's the discipleship. In the life, the discipleship is making yourself transparent. Make it transparent. And the dear brother who may be probably listening in corrected me and pushed me to the next level. He said, it is not only, brother, making ourselves transparent, also making ourselves vulnerable. When you go and share the gospel, when you go and do good, you're making yourself vulnerable. Somebody will be peeved. Somebody will come and ask. Somebody will criticize. And that is the beginning of sharing your testimony, being vulnerable. Make yourself, this morning, my appeal to you is make yourself vulnerable. Not only transparent, make yourself vulnerable. In the whole process of making disciples, it is not only preaching, it is not only teaching, it is living a life transparent and living a life very vulnerable. This is the doing. So, hearing the essences, loving and sharing the gospel. If you love, feed my sheep. If you love, keep my commandments. This is what Christ said to Peter. That should ring on in our ears as well. So let us do good. Like Paul said, while there is still opportunity, do good to all. Do good to household of faith. So the doing good is one thing when it comes to outside the fraternity of believers, so that all may receive the good. Not one soul, John 3:16 should come in our life as we live it. So this morning, with my prayer and blessings, I let you go that we shall be not only hearers, doers. And nobody should get me wrong saying that, is it doing at the expense of hearing? Because I started with telling you about my experience with my church brothers, saying that you've been hearing all your life, why don't you do something of talking? Stand up and talk. Stand up and share the word of God. Stand up and pray. Stand up and lead. So it is not at the expense of one, meaning at the expense of hearing, you start doing. Because some people are saying, we have to do work. We have to take care of the poor. We have to do this. No, not without hearing. If you keep on doing, you will get depleted. You'll have to keep on hearing. Hearing reinforces the faith in us. Hearing reinforces the faith in us. Therefore, it's my humble appeal this morning and prayer and blessing that each one of us will be blessed. And then, not at the cost of hearing, let us continue hearing. Let us continue hearing. It is very important because hearing brings faith in a different context. In Romans, it is said by Paul, Apostle Paul. But then, in our believers' context, it'll keep on reinforcing it. Inspiring us, it'll keep on reaffirming our faith and strengthen and faith to take a deep root. So we keep on, let us keep on hearing, but let us not limit ourselves to hearing, and let us be hearers of all through the world. Because Paul gives a beautiful example and closes it. He's saying, if you're hearers and not doers, it is like looking at yourself in the mirror and then walking away and forgetting about yourself. Therefore, be blessed this morning. I thank God for this privilege and for your patient learning and participating. Thank you.
Uncle, you know, we have like 4 more minutes. Can you take 2 questions, Uncle? You know, if somebody... No. Yeah.
Please, anybody who's asked, let's
yeah,
take it.
You know, 2 questions, if anybody has, you can just...
John here, how can we discern or hear what the purpose of doing or what has to be done? Because we have so many cluttered things coming in, but the focus clarity.
Yes. Thank you, brother. That is why I divided into 2 things. The division is, one is loving the Lord, and back to back is loving the neighbor. So in your own clutter, you got to put it into that silo, loving the Lord and loving your self. That is one thing. And then we got to say, if you love the Lord, Lord says, go, this is my command, go and share the good news, go and share the gospel. So in all that what you intend, in all that what you do, that must be intertwined. Your gospel work must be intertwined. So doing, and it is not only for your living you should be. I want to encourage you with one question. Lord God, in His sovereignty, birthed you. He birthed you with a purpose. Because He birthed you with a purpose, He will take care of you. But He has spoken to you. He said, love your God, love your neighbor. But then He said, if you love your neighbor, go and give the gospel. So just put it into these two silos. Then you will come to terms with it and declutter yourself. It's a good question, because so many things we are trying to say that, should I walk the second mile? Should I share my tunic? Should I invite somebody into my home? As the opportunity presents, that's why I went into Galatians and said that, while the opportunity presents, you can do it. Not keep on dragging everything into your life and get it overcrowded. I hope I made some sense to you and yes, it clarifies.
Thank you.
Maybe one more question, if anyone has last question.
Brother, I have one question.
Who's speaking?
I am Jacob.
Yes, Brother Jacob. Go ahead.
Yeah, I have met you in Haggai Institute.
Okay.
One question. When we go and preach the gospel,
yes,
and we are bringing them to Christ, but Christ said, I am the way to the Father. How, you know, will the recipient of the gospel get confused between the Christ and the Father?
One thing, when you're stepping outside the believer circle, we got to be careful how we use the language of the Bible. Because talk to Him in a sense that will. So it is better to limit to Jesus for the beginner, because He's a beginner.
Yeah.
He has to be fed milk, not hard meat or hard food. This is Paul himself says, when you're a child, he has to be treated like a child. If he's a beginner, makes sense to them, only using that which will make sense to them. Get to a common ground. Use a common language. This is very, very important. Get to a common ground and to a common language. Then he said, I'm going and preaching. I'm going and giving the gospel. I'm going and do evangelism. One word I would like to draw your attention to. That is why we are talking to people here in business and in professionals. 1 Peter 3:15. It says, be ready to give an answer to the one that who's asking for the reason for the faith that is in you. And do it with all the meekness. So, if somebody comes and asks you, then your business of presenting Jesus Christ and the gospel of salvation, it'll be made extremely easy. It'll become so much easy when he's asking the question. If you're going and thrusting yourself upon them, it will be a mountainous task. Go and search the scriptures, how Jesus Christ presented, how the apostles presented. Never trust yourself. Read and meditate and study word 1 Peter 3:15. Be ready to give an answer for the reason for the faith that is in you. That makes things so much easier. And how will they ask you? That is where I shared the inspiration, I said, live transparent, do good, and live transparent, live transparent. While you're living transparent, others are watching. It will make him answer a question, why are you a Christian? If somebody has asked you in your life, why are you a Christian? That is the most blessed moment of your life. And like my friend prompted me and said, not only Augustus, we have to live transparent, we ought to also to make ourselves vulnerable. Make ourselves vulnerable that somebody will be coming and criticizing us hard. That will open the forum for us to present the gospel and introduce Jesus Christ. I always say, We are willing to introduce our relatives, our sons, and kith and kin. But I would say, have you ever introduced Jesus Christ? That will make it so much easier. Thank you for asking.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
Uncle, can you finish the session with closing prayer? You do the closing prayer.
Yeah. Okay, fine, right. Loving Heavenly Father, what a wonderful morning, Lord. A blessed morning. We received your manna. Have you not listened throughout our life, Lord? We have been hearing. Lord, that what a blessing. Who has heard what is the report that came through us? We want to move to that blessed anxiety of who will hear from us, from what we heard. Lord, we want to hear what we hear. Give us understanding. When we understand, help us internalize it. When we internalize it, help us apply it on our lives, Lord. This morning, I pray for CBMC in Indian context, as well as in the worldwide context, and all every member who is present and listening to it, and the entire ministry of CBMC, I commit it to your loving hands, that it may be blessed and abound and be a blessing to many around and to our nation. In Christ's name, I ask this. Amen.